Can be turning with me to the book of Jude and consider some thoughts this morning from the book of Jude in this short letter that we have. I will start in verse 3 of Jude, just one chapter, of course. But verse 3 of Jude says, "Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith, which was once for all delivered to the saints." And what I want us to consider this morning is that phrase, contend earnestly for the faith. You know, it's certainly been on my heart lately to think about why we are here, particularly as an assembly, and why as individuals the Lord may have us in certain places at certain time, but really thinking about as an assembly of people, how important it is that we are contending earnestly for the faith. And I'm convinced that those here have contended earnestly for others, people's faith, and are doing so now. But I think it's good for us to be reminded of what this means, and we'll look at other places where the same word is used by Paul in his writings. We'll look a little bit about why this was urgent for Jude, and why it's urgent for us today. This Jude wrote this between 67 and 80 AD, so this has been something that Christians needed to be exhorted to do from the beginning of the church, really, to contend earnestly for the faith. So let's look at that, the word in the Greek that Jude uses is epagonidzomai, and it means to struggle for. In its most literal sense, means to contend about a thing. When it was translated into English, the word earnestly had to be added to try to convey this is an intensive word that Jude uses. He's telling them to fight, to strive, to struggle for the faith, to endeavor, to labor, protect the truth, to guard the truth, to allow others to grow in their faith. It's a very active word, and if you really look at it, you can kind of see there's an English word that comes from this word, and you can kind of see it there in the middle. It means to agonize, to agonize about, or agony, is what this word means. So when you know, this word is particularly used when talking about an athlete that is striving to win something, to win at whatever sport it is, that they exert a lot of effort. They push themselves, maybe even a little bit beyond where they thought they could be. But that's this word, even going back to Greek times, that's how it was used. It was used to describe an athlete they're going for it. They're putting in their effort to win a prize. This is what Jude was telling recipients of his letter to do. He was telling them, contend earnestly. It means it's going to be a struggle sometimes. There's going to be conflict sometimes. But he's telling them to do it. And there's it's an active word. It's not something that you do just watching. It's an active word. Let's look at 1 Timothy 6 and go to verse 11 of 1 Timothy chapter 6. I'll read verses 11 and 12. See another instance of this word. Paul writes to Timothy, "But you, O man of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness." At the beginning of verse 12, "Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, to which you were also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses." So right there at the beginning of verse 12, when Paul says, "Fight the good fight of faith," same word in Greek that Jude uses to contend earnestly. And it's agonizomai, again, a word to struggle, to compete for a prize, to contend with an adversary is another thought, or to endeavor to accomplish something. So that's the word that Jude uses, and it's the same word that Paul uses when he's trying to encourage Timothy, a younger minister of the Word of God. Timothy was at the time, and Paul is telling him, fight the good fight of faith. Another instance where Paul uses this word is in Colossians 1. I'll read verses 28 and 29 of Colossians chapter 1. "Him," that is Jesus, "him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. To this end I also labor, striving." Again, there's the same word translated here as striving. "Striving according to his working, which works in me mightily." So I think Paul here, this is a summary statement, really, of how Paul was contending earnestly for the faith. So Paul's saying, we preach Jesus Christ. We warn every man. We teach every man in all wisdom, with the goal of presenting every man perfect, that is, presenting every man complete in Christ Jesus. And so Paul says he's striving, he's agonizing, he's contending, he's struggling. He is endeavoring to accomplish that, to present every man complete in Christ Jesus. And he did that by teaching them the Word of God that had been revealed to him. So Paul was contending for the faith of others. So when we look, again, when we look at these, there are, and reading some of the commentaries about these words and looking at the meaning of them, I've said most of the things that kind of stand out, but we see agony, conflict, fight, striving. And so I have to ask ourselves, is that what we're to be about as Christians? Are we really supposed to fight? I don't think Jude or Paul are saying that we need to go around looking for a fight. That's not what they're saying at all. But what they're saying is that we are to be spiritual warriors. We are to be aware that there is a conflict. There is a struggle. There is a spiritual struggle going on. And Paul's telling Timothy, Jude's telling his listener, the readers of his letter, that contend. Like, don't shy away from it. This isn't something where we're just to be a spectator. And let's think about what is at stake in this struggle. You know, our faith in our own growth, that's one thing that's at stake. The faith of our children, the opportunity for them to grow in their faith in the Lord. Faith of our friends, our family. This is the faith that, as Jude writes, that we read about in verse 3 of Jude, was once for all delivered to the saints. That's what we're struggling for, is that opportunity for all who want to hear, who want to know, who want to grow, that opportunity for them to do so. Now recognize, this is not necessarily how the Christian life is marketed today, that there's a struggle going on. So often the Christian life, it's supposed to be easy, you know, like you'll have no worries and no struggles and no problems. And I know that all of you know that that's not the case. And I think it's partly why Paul and Jude were led by the Holy Spirit to write some of these things, so that we're not surprised that there's a conflict. We're not surprised that there are times of struggling. There's times of striving. There's times of laboring. But we have to be looking toward the end goal. When Jude wrote this, in the early days of the church, there was an urgency to him writing it. As we read about in verse 3, I think it's interesting to note that Jude, he'd rather write about salvation. And he wanted to write about salvation. Jude, his name, it means praise. So that's what he wanted to write about. And in a way, he is writing about that, because he's wanting to preserve the opportunity for others to receive that salvation, that great salvation. And it's, to an unbeliever, there's nothing more important for them to hear than to hear about the salvation that they can have by trusting in Jesus Christ. And as believers, we need to be reminded of that. And so in a way, Jude was writing about it. He would have rather spent more time elaborating on that, but there was an urgent matter that his readers needed to be reminded of. He found it necessary to tell them to contend earnestly for the faith. And he made it clear why he was writing about that. It was an urgent matter. In verse 4 of Jude, says, "For certain men have crept in unnoticed, who long ago were marked out for this condemnation, ungodly men who turn the grace of our God into lewdness and deny the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ." So Jude recognized, hey, there's some that have come into the church that are not what they appear to be, that they are actually ungodly men. And this shouldn't be a surprise. We know that we have an enemy that's at work as well, Satan. So there should be no surprise that there is a conflict when those two things come together, when you have some who are trying to follow the light, trying to follow the Lord, and there's an enemy that would like more than anything for people to go the other way. So it shouldn't be surprised. I mean, I think about it, just it's almost simple physics, right? You know, something's trying to go one way, another thing is trying to go another way, and they're going to hit. There's going to be some conflict, some struggling, some striving. There were forces in that early church from the very beginning pushing against those who were faithful, those who were trying to follow the Lord. Men that were working against the teaching of the apostles, the teachings of Peter and Paul and John. Jude shed a little bit more light about what these looked like getting near the end of his letter in verses 16, reading through verse 19 of Jude. "These are grumblers, complainers, walking according to their own lusts. And they mouth great swelling words, flattering people to gain advantage. But you, beloved, remember the words which were spoken before by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how they told you that there would be mockers in the last time who would walk according to their own ungodly lusts. These are sensual persons who cause divisions, not having the Spirit." Here we see what in the early church some of these look like. And do we see that today when we look out just in the Christian, realm, if you will? Do we see some of these things today? Do we see people trying to gain advantage? Do we see people that are serving themselves and not the Lord? You know, I think, and sometimes as Christians, I think we, you know, we need to have discernment as well as to who we are. I don't know if elevating is the right word, but who we are considering as spiritual leaders. And I think when you look at the broad church, the broad spectrum of believers, you know, oftentimes we're putting the wrong people up as spiritual leaders. You know, that just because someone can sing and perform music does not necessarily make them a spiritual leader. And thankfully, there are those who are trying to use those gifts in serving the Lord. So it's, you know, it doesn't necessarily disqualify them as a spiritual leader, but we need, you know, need to be careful. Just because they, you know, can throw a ball or hit a ball and also claim to be Christian does not necessarily make them a spiritual leader. And so we have to guard against that. But Jude puts out some of these characteristics, you know, just because someone can speak eloquently, that by itself does not make them a spiritual leader. You know, thankfully there are some who can communicate the word of God and think, you know, that do strive to do so in a way that pleases the Lord, and they spend time studying the word. And they are able to provide solid teaching of the Bible. So I'm thankful that the Lord has given us some who are able to do that. But we have to be guarded on who we put in that spot in our eyes. And Jude was trying to deal with that. He's telling believers, contend earnestly. Just because someone can speak well and can flatter people with great words, that does not mean they are a great teacher of the Word of God. Because Satan is at work, and he's not going to make it easy, and he's going to work against those who are trying to serve the Lord. And so this was an issue 2,000 years ago. It's still an issue today, and will continue to be an issue. But Jude's trying to encourage those who genuinely wanted to follow the Lord to be determined, keep going, and following after the faith that was delivered to them. Jude says, "Our faith has been delivered." You know, we have it revealed to us in the Word of God, and I hope that's why all of you are here today. It should be one of the main reasons why we gather together, is that we want to grow in our faith. We want to hear the Word of God preached. We want to know it, because we have to know it so that we can strive for it, so that we can contend earnestly for the faith. We have to know what the Lord has revealed to us. And so as I look at what Jude has exhorted here, there's some things that kind of stand out to me. There's probably some other things that may stand out to you as we look at these words. But one is that I think there's no way around it that contending earnestly, that striving for the faith, in doing so, there's some effort, there's some energy that will be expended. I think when you look at that word that Jude uses and that Paul uses, when you look at the word about agonizing, that means there's some energy that will be spent. I mean, when you think about even, you know, compare it to an athletic contest, there's some energy expended by those who are participating. And as we face spiritual battles, there's energy that will be spent. But I think Paul recognized that. We could read in Galatians chapter 6, and I'll read verses 9 and 10 of Galatians chapter 6, where he says, "And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith." So I think Paul here is recognizing that as you do try to do good, as you try to follow the Lord, there is some energy that will be spent. But he's encouraging in this verse, Galatians 6:9, let us not grow weary. Yep, there's some energy that's going to be spent for a time while we're on this earth. But let us not grow weary. And similarly, 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 13, Paul writes a similar thing. "But as for you, brethren, do not grow weary in doing good." So Paul recognizes the effort that may be spent, but he's saying, don't grow weak. Don't be spiritless. You recognize it takes energy, but we know too that we get the energy we need from the Lord. So if we look at in Hebrews chapter 12, and I'll read verses 1 through 3. "Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls." And so when we think we're becoming weary, when we think, wow, I'm tired. I just don't have it in me to fight. That's when we need to look to the Lord. We need to look to Jesus, who's the author and finisher of our faith. And it's good to be reminded here that, yeah, we're going to face some spiritual battles. We may face some conflict. We may face some forces that are going against us. But Jesus has already won. Jesus has already defeated those forces. He has already defeated our enemy. He is the author and finisher of our faith. The energy that we need is not our own energy. It comes from looking to Jesus. Another reason why, how important it is that we come together to be reminded of that, to be renewed in that, to be reminded that Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. That is the energy that we need. I think another thing that I see in contending earnestly requires strength. Someone doing an athletic contest, whether it's running or whether it's playing football or wrestling, you know, you don't last long if you don't have strength. And here again, and I think you know this, where do we get our strength? We get our strength from the Lord. Jude, as he closes his letter in verses 24 and 25 of Jude, says, "Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen." So right there we see it. Now, to him who is able to keep you from stumbling, we get our strength from the Lord. We get our energy, our stamina, our strength from looking to the Lord. Psalm 121 is another reminder of this. Verses 1 through 4 of Psalm 121. "I will lift up my eyes to the hills. From whence comes my help? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber." Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. And so we have all the strength we need to contend earnestly for the faith, because here again, it's not our own strength. That's not the strength we're talking about. The strength we need comes from the Lord, the one who will keep us, not allow us to stumble, not allow our foot to be moved. Another thing that I see here is that contending earnestly, there will at times be some, I think, discomfort, even suffering or pain. And there are many examples in the Bible about suffering, and these can give us some perspective about what this looks like. But we could mention Job. Job had some pains, and I've never experienced anything close to what Job did, but he had times of suffering as he was challenged and growing in his faith. We've read about Jesus suffered agony on the cross. He tasted death so that you and I will have eternal life. In our study of Acts, on Wednesday night, we heard about Stephen being stoned to death, experienced some suffering, some pain, as he contended earnestly for the faith of others. Romans 8, 16 through 18, though, tells us a little bit about this. Romans 8 and verse 16 says, "The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." Fortunately, these times are temporary. These times of suffering and pain, they're there for a little while as we grow in our faith. And it's similar, like when we exercise physically, maybe we lift weights, or if we run a long distance, our muscles get tired, they get sore, there's pain for a short time, but then they get stronger. Our suffering makes us stronger, especially as we yield to the Lord. When we look to him for strength, when we look to him for our energy, when we are in those times, our faith grows, and our faith keeps growing as we do that. And we build up our spiritual endurance as we continue to look to the Lord. And yeah, we go through times of pain and suffering, but we look to the Lord, and our faith grows. And hopefully that has an impact on those around us as well. Our present sufferings, even when they are great, and sometimes they are great, will not compare to the glory that will be revealed in us in eternity with Christ. The word for agony, and that's the word we've been looking at, means an extreme and generally prolonged pain or suffering. That's one definition of the word in our English dictionary. So again, we shouldn't be shocked at that, but we need to know, we need to look to the Lord. We need to look to him, even when we experience that. And we need to know that even as great as that is, it is temporary. The glory that will be revealed in us is greater than any pain or suffering we will experience in this life. And as I look at this, contending earnestly requires preparation. Again, if you look at even a sporting event, and particularly a high-level sports team or professional sports team, they spend time preparing. They don't just show up on game day and, line up and play the game. They've spent time practicing. They've spent time looking at their opponent, knowing how they may want to play against a certain opponent. You know, the Broncos, they scout their opponents. They find their weaknesses. And then they prepare for that. They devise a plan so they can exploit those weaknesses. There's preparation involved. And they train, and they train, and they train. You know, they follow a plan. And so we also need to be prepared. Again, it's a reason why we come together, so that we can be prepared. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, "To be diligent, to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." We need to know how to rightly divide the word of truth. We need to know how to handle it. We need to be ready. You know, if we're not ready for that struggle, that's when we, you know, that's when we can falter. But if we're diligent, if we're prepared, if we've spent time studying the Word of God, then we're ready for those times of conflict, those times of pain and suffering. Revelation 19, verses 7 and 8 tell us, "Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready." So the Lamb's bride has prepared and has spent time preparing. That takes time. That takes some energy in itself to be diligent, to know the Word of God, to come and hear the Word of God. It takes some effort to be here, to get dressed, get ready, to get kids up and ready to go on a Sunday morning, or to get here on a Wednesday night in the middle of a busy week. It takes some effort, but that's part of our preparation. That's part of being ready. So many of these things, they certainly challenge me. They challenge me about how am I approaching my faith? How am I going about growing in my faith? And again, I think when we look at what Jude and Paul have said, it's not something we just show up and watch. I mean, when I think about a Broncos game, you know, there's 22 people actually on the field actually fighting that conflict, and 75,000 people in the stands actually watching. And sometimes those 75,000 people think they have more impact on the game than they do, but they've not really prepared. They're not, you know, they're not the ones out there actually fighting the battle. And that's not where we want to be as Christians either, you know, in the back row of the stands, just watching. You know, if we're to grow in our faith, we're going to be in the battle. We're going to be facing conflict. But again, it's not a fight we go looking for. In a lot of ways, being here, you're contending for the faith of yourself, for others that you may bring, your family. Being ready with an encouraging word, being ready when the situation presents itself with a friend or family, to share the word of God. That's contending for the faith. 1 Peter, he reminds us too that 1 Peter 4, verses 12 through 13, though contending for the faith can be agonizing, it's intense, there are battles, there are struggles. You know, a lot of people think when they start to face those conflicts that inevitably come, when they face those struggles, you know, if they don't know the Word of God, a lot of Christians that aren't mature in their faith, they think, wow, what am I doing wrong? I must be doing something wrong. Is God trying to punish me? But that's probably not the case. You may be facing some battles and struggles, and that may be right where God intends you to be at that moment. 1 Peter 4, verses 12 through 13. "Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. God wants us to grow, mature, and he wants us to be glad with exceeding joy. So don't think it's strange when we have those trials, when we have those sufferings. We shouldn't be surprised at that. The Lord's trying to build us up. He's trying to make us stronger in our faith. We can look forward to that time when the glory of the Lord will be revealed. And how do we deal with this? How do we contend for the faith? Well, Jude offers up sound advice in verses 20 and 21 when he writes, "But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life." So Jude says to build yourselves up. Again, be diligent. Be a workman that does not need to be ashamed. Exercise your faith. Live your faith. We have the Word of God revealed to us. We're to go out and live it. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Pray. Pray in the Holy Spirit. Pray for the Lord's wisdom. Pray for his strength. Pray for others. Lift other saints up in prayer. What a powerful tool we have in contending earnestly for the faith of others. And look for the mercy of Jesus Christ and be looking toward the glory that will be revealed in eternity.